A new report published in the Lancet Planet makes the point that 33,000 Indians in 10 Indian cities die of air pollution annually at pollution levels below India's current air quality standards. This means that India's clean air threshold is simply too high and needs to match or get closer to what the World Health Organization recommends. After all, there is little point in having national clean air standards which don't prevent the death of citizens. So what does the report say? Well, for starters, 33,000 deaths in 10 cities can be attributed to air pollution levels above World Health Organization norms. This is the first multi-city study that assesses the relationship between short-term air pollution exposure and death in India. Local air pollution sources are likely to be more toxic than distant sources. Data from 2008 to 2019 across India's largest cities suggests that approximately 7.2% of all deaths in India are attributable to short-term daily PM2.5 exposure. Graded action plans to deal with several air pollution levels are not enough, since the dangers of air pollution, even at low levels, is quite extreme. Now, in terms of individual cities, this is what the data says. 11.5% of all air pollution-related deaths, or 12,000 deaths each year in Delhi, can be associated with short-term PM2.5 exposure, higher than what the World Health Organization deems acceptable. Mumbai was the second highest, 5.6% of all deaths. Of approximately 5,100 deaths every year, were attributable to short-term PM2.5 exposure, higher than the World Health Organization's guideline value. In Kolkata, 7.3% of all deaths, or 4,700 deaths each year, were linked to short-term PM2.5 exposure. Chennai, 4.9% of all deaths, or about 2,900 deaths, were attributed to short-term PM2.5 exposure. And in Bengaluru, 4.8% of all deaths, or about 2,100 each year, were attributable to short-term PM2.5 exposure. And in Hyderabad, 5.6% of all deaths, or about 1,600 deaths a year, were linked to short-term PM2.5 exposure. What the report actually means is that what we in India consider clean or acceptable air is simply not clean and is not acceptable, since exposure to PM2.5 at levels lower than what is accepted in India is causing deaths. And the data is just from 10 cities. The numbers across the country would be much, much larger. Now consider this, and this is important, the difference between Indian norms and World Health Organization norms for exposure to PM2.5. India's air pollution threshold for PM2.5 is at 60 micrograms for a 24-hour period of exposure. The World Health Organization air pollution threshold for PM2.5 for the same period, 24 hours, is 15 micrograms, right? Just a fraction. In other words, Indian norms are four times higher than what the World Health Organization defines as the threshold for clean air. Similarly, India's air pollution threshold for annual exposure to PM2.5 is 40 micrograms, while the World Health Organization guideline states that the annual exposure to PM2.5 should be just 5 micrograms. In other words, India tolerates annual PM2.5 exposure, which is 8 times that of the World Health Organization standard. Joining us now, some very special guests. We've got the authors of the report, Dr. Bhargav Krishna, fellow at the Sustainable Futures Collaborative, Dr. Purnima Prabhakiran, director at the Center for Health Analytics, Research and Trends, and Kalpana Balakrishnan, the Dean of Research and Director at the WHO Collaborating Center. Thank you all very much for being with us. Dr. Bhargav Krishna, let me ask you the most basic question of them all. Consider for a fact that we are doing this in public interest. Number one, what is PM2.5?
Thanks so much, Rishman. Thanks for doing a great breakdown of the results earlier. It's super helpful, I'm sure, for everybody who's watching. So PM2.5 primarily is a byproduct of air pollution generated from various sources. It could be from burning products, either petrol or diesel or wood or coal, or it could be from very fine particles of dust. Essentially, why PM2.5 is important and relevant for us from a health perspective is because it's smaller than the width of a human hair. It's smaller than 2.5 microns in size. And because of that, it penetrates deep into the lungs and potentially even into the bloodstream and beyond, causing a range of health effects from cardiovascular disease to respiratory conditions, even strokes and heart attacks and various other health issues. And this is particularly why we chose to study PM2.5 and its health effects in this particular study.
Dr. Prabhakaran, when we talk about short-term exposure, what exactly does that mean?
Thank you, Vishnu, for inviting us and for, you know, helping the listeners actually understand the impact and the implications of this study and its findings. So short-term exposure is actually exposure in an acute time frame, so which could be in terms of days, 1 or 2 days. And when we talk about long-term exposure, it is over a longer time period, over weeks, over months, and that could be in terms of chronic low-dose exposure. So intuitively, we all understand that short-term high-dose exposure is the one that is more dangerous. And this study actually sought to study exactly that, what short-term exposure can do to the health of our people, not just in the cities that we generally tend to look at, Delhi, which is always in the news, but also in cities that are traditionally considered cleaner, I mean, as per our national ambient air quality standards.
Kalpana Balakrishnan, local air pollution factors versus distant air pollution factors. What does the data indicate?
This is one of the first studies that has attempted to sort of really include the contribution of local sources within a time series analytical framework. What we have known is that the anywhere, for that matter, the concentration in the air is contributed equally, or in some cases, disproportionately by local or external sources. And it is very important to recognize the relative contributions. So what we normally think of managing air is not at a, 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer level, but at an airshed level. In this airshed is where we can sort of really delineate, the contributions of the various sources. So Delhi's airshed is much larger than Delhi's administrative boundaries, for example. And so is the case for many other cities. What this particular study has shown is that the contribution of local sources really needs to be given a lot of attention, which is sometimes used as a strategy for not being able to sort of control a local air quality problem because the contribution is mostly from outside. This particular study has provided impacts, overall impacts, as well as impacts attributable to local sources, using a very novel approach.
Dr. Bhargav Krishna, why does India have a standard which is higher than the WHO standard?
So, Vishnu, the current standards were set all the way back in 2009. And to an extent, we don't necessarily know this for a fact, but it was based on whatever science was available at that time and aligned with what the World Health Organization considered acceptable with respect to exposures back then. Since then, of course, the WHO and pretty much every other regulator in the world has updated their guidelines based on what the latest science tells us. We know that currently India is in the process of reviewing its air quality standards and potentially updating them based on new evidence. But what we can see is that we need to set a long-term goal of trying to meet the WHO standards, because we are really seeing substantial impacts even in cities which we don't consider potentially polluted. And we're seeing a significant number of deaths happening in cities which are currently meeting the national ambient air quality standards, which means we need to move much further and much closer to the WHO guidelines.
Dr. Prabhakaran, every year in the NCR, National Capital Region, we've got a graded action plan, which very often comes into play. That's often when there is, it's in December or January, or it is linked to stubble burning in the Punjab. The report actually makes the point that graded action plans at one level are knee-jerk reactions. We can't just limit our concern to air pollution for the months of October, November, December, January. It has to be the whole year. Why is that the case? For example, outside right now, it rained a little while back. I'll bet the air quality might even be close to being healthy. So why should I be concerned about air quality in the NCR throughout the year?
I think, Vishnu, you're right. I mean, I think so far, I think we've been very reactive responders. You know, I mean, we know for a fact that Delhi NCR region or the Indo-Gangetic plain, we are more, vulnerable to these poor air quality levels in the winter season for so many reasons. Meteorological conditions vary and it may be stubble burning. It may be so many different reasons. But this study is actually pointing to the fact that this should not be the case. Our strategy for air quality management needs to change because the levels for, exposure are remarkably the same. I mean, throughout the year, you're seeing these poor air quality levels, not just in the traditionally known cities, but also in the other cities where so far we thought they were conforming to the national ambient air quality standards. So it just means that we need to take a relook at our air quality management strategies and not have these, these responses that are very seasonal in approach, but actually look at air quality management as an annual affair. I mean, it has to be perennial throughout the year. And I think that's the way to go going forwards.
Kalpana Balakrishnan, the fact is that this study just focused on 10 cities. And therefore, it's just common sense that the actual number of deaths in India at levels beneath what India considers acceptable is massively more, right? So we do, and at this stage, we don't even have any idea of what that number might be. Could you tell us about, do you have any idea of scale or proportion of how much we're actually looking at? Because it's not just an urban phenomenon, is it? It's a rural concern as well.
Absolutely. You have really, highlighted the magnitude of the problem. Because if 10 cities with locally available empirical data provides this kind of a number, we do have a number for the national estimate. We do have a number for every state in India, based on the global burden of disease approaches. And that estimate puts India's burden attributable to ambient air pollution, primarily urban in nature, but not limited to urban, rural and urban ambient air pollution at about 1 million deaths. And deaths attributable to household air pollution related to the use of solid cook fuels at almost an equal number of, again, 1 million deaths. The problem has been, as the authors very nicely point out, many of these models thus far have not been in a position to be informed by exposure response functions from India. So this study's phenomenal contribution has been to corroborate the models that the exposure response functions, which are of course informed by Indian studies, but not primary exposure response information, can actually be very much, taken as an reasonable estimate of the scale of the problem. So clearly, 1 million deaths may be off by a few 100,000 here or there. But the fact that 10 cities can contribute to about 33,000 deaths attributable to short-term exposures, you can only imagine how many more deaths could be attributable in the entire country to both household and ambient air pollution in both rural and urban areas.
Dr. Krishna, do you believe one of the reasons we are having this discussion is that unlike in the past when people would die of a stroke or people would die of a heart attack and the cause of death would be written as a heart attack or stroke, we now on the basis of evolving science can actually say that it was in fact air pollution that killed us. And that is actually the difference now where you can quantitatively say that these are air pollution deaths. These aren't just heart attacks or they aren't just strokes.
So Vishnu, I think we've been able to do that at a population level for a long time now. It's not that we haven't been able to identify how many people have died because of air pollution exposure at the level of a city or a state or a country, as Dr. Balakrishnan pointed out. The challenge comes when you're looking at individual cases, and this has always been the plausible deniability question with respect to air pollution, right? Which is that no death certificate really says air pollution is the cause of death. And that's the same case with smoking or HIV AIDS as well. But that doesn't mean we ignore them as risk factors for ill health or death. In the same way, we have information now at a population level and causal information at that, showcasing the direct link between air pollution and mortality across 10 cities, and including some of the largest cities in the country. And that should be a cause for alarm as we think about how we respond to this. I don't think there's any case for being able to deny the impact going forward.
Look, I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us and in simple terms explaining what is an issue which affects, well, not millions, but perhaps a billion plus Indians. And it is a concern that we're going to focus on in the future as well. We're out of time on this program. From all of us here, good night.